This is the beginning of class 4.
Sasi bhagi jashinne tajan viravin shinyande kyanpati sangye shindu mitte huwahi jogo
basically, it's almost immeasurable. I've seen somebody put an estimate on it as a couple. Was it 400 billion?
432 billion.
Yeah, different people have different estimates. But what it is it's the time almost between. It's the time in which it takes a universe to be created and be destroyed. I mean, it's that long. It's the time it takes a sun to be born and then to die out. At roughly, I mean, it's much more complicated than this. And I wanted to do the whole thing with you, but it just didn't seem like, you guys seemed to get pretty burned out at 9:30 last night.
How does anybody know this?
Buddha is omniscient.
is a Buddhist kalpa as a Hindu kalpa?
I don't know. But I'll tell you something. In that same chapter of the Abhidhamma Kosha, which is the end of the third chapter, he explains things which he could not have known. He explains subatomic particles. He goes down into like 8 levels of subatomic particles. Then he goes into light years. I mean, he explains light years. He explains the life of a star, the sun, you know, things like that. I mean, and this is in Vasubandhu. This is 300 AD, 400 AD, you know, quoting the Buddha. So it's incredible. In fact, they run out of words for the subatomic particles below the diameter of a flea's egg. And they start giving them silly names like quark and, you know, it's funny, you know. They start calling them sheep particle, horse particle. And on, they say this particle is the 1 trillionth of this particle. They go from those particles up to light years. Up to 10 to the 60th power, they have a different name for each number in the Abhidhamma. It's incredible. So yeah, it looks like the work of our mission needs. Okay.
What are we going to do that?
That's about fourth year, second half of the fourth year.
and keep us humble.
You know, the passage they talk about when they say at the end of this, the
kalpa,
things will start to disintegrate.
Yeah,
and
that's called the jiva kalpa. That's at the end of like 60 or 80 kalpas, you have a little kalpa where the world dissolves.
The universe is like
whole kalpa.
No, not that easy.
The
jiva
number
on
the book.
Yeah.
Not.
But we'll do kalpa some of the day. I apologize. Okay. We have to rush, or we won't. Or you'll have another question that you don't know on the next.
Is it possible that maybe we would be willing to go a couple more minutes, and you just aren't aware of that, or you really don't want to go beyond that yourself?
Well, I don't want people walking around at night.
Right. I mean,
go on, but also I know that it's hard for me to sit in a class for more than 2 hours. It's easy to teach for 3 or 4 hours, but it's hard. Okay, let's go. Please say chu.
Chu.
Kume.
Kume.
Ba.
La.
Lo Song.
Lo Song.
Su.
Su.
Juba.
Juba.
Che Xiang.
Che Xiang.
Toba.
Toba.
Senden.
Senden.
Nei
Chi.
Mi Ke.
Mi Ke.
Okay. Tonight we're going to talk about Dharma. Okay, what is the Dharma? All right. What is a...
We got it here. Nam
Sing.
And it's, I got it.
By the way, you don't have to memorize this part or anything. It's just something I want you to know. It's not going to be on the quiz. This word you should know.
Is it already written somewhere?
Yeah, it's in the second line of page 16, same page.
Are you sure we don't have to write down the first one?
Absolutely sure.
I mean, you're not going to, translate
trick
it
or
a little further
no,
on?
No, I'm going to explain it right now. But it's not something that I want you to memorize for next week or anything like that. I'll give you 3 short things to memorize. But it's not that. Okay, we talked last week about what?
The qualities of a lama.
Okay, and the point was that you should carefully examine a teacher before you let him mess around with your spiritual real estate, before you open your mind and let him tinker in ways that might permanently damage him. Check him out. Okay, don't just go to any teaching that you hear about. Don't just go to any initiation you hear about. Try to find out more about the person doing it. See if he matches up pretty well to those 10 qualities. Those 10 qualities were taught by who? Who said that a lama should have those 10 qualities?
Asanga.
Sangha. But remember that everything that a Sangha wrote was what?
From the Buddha.
Maitreya dictated it to him. Okay? There's a big debate. In Western scholars, you have to put Maitreya / a Sangha because you're not allowed to admit that Maitreya said it. Maitreya taught it. A Sangha went to Maitreya's paradise and Maitreya taught a Sangha the 5 great books of a Sangha. A Sangha wrote the great books of the mind-only school. And then he wrote some great books at the Majjhimika school. Incredible. I mean, just incredible. He and his brother are responsible for about half the course.
Who's his brother?
His brother is Vasubandhu, who wrote the Abhidhamma Kosha. And they were sons of a nun who had a vision that if she married the king of that country, that she would have these twins, and they would become the 2 greatest Buddhist scholars of possibly all time, except for Nagarjuna Sangha. But very interesting story. So she did. She didn't have any desire to give up her vows, but she saw that this would happen, and it did. An incredible force. So, those qualifications of a lama are whose idea then? Maitreya, the Buddha. Buddha.
The future Buddha?
They say future Buddha. That was my debate assignment when I did my pre-geshe exam in front of all the whole monastery. And the bottom line in that debate is that he is already a Buddha. And that's a long story. I won't tell you the whole debate. But in other words, the Buddha is describing to you the qualities that a good teacher should have. In those 10 qualities were prescribed by the Buddha himself. A Buddha himself, Maitreya. Now what naturally are we going to discuss? So that's the qualities of a teacher. Do not go to a Dharma teaching without checking out the teacher and finding out something about him, trying to see if he has some of those qualities or all of them. How about, what do you guess is going to come next?
Qualities of a student.
Good. Qualities of a student are? Or the qualities of the teaching. And in fact, those are the two points we're going to cover tonight. Okay? So we're going to talk about Nyamso.
Nyamso.
Lanche.
Lanche.
Nyamso.
Nyamso.
Lanche.
Lanche.
Chu means what?
Dharma.
Dharma. Chu means Dharma. That last word means Dharma.
Chos.
Nyamso Lanche means which you practice, which is to be practiced. A Dharma that you can practice. Nyamso Len means to put into practice. Cha means which is to be. A Dharma that you can put into practice. A Dharma that you can actually practice yourself. Nyamso Len Cha means hands-on, practical, something you can do. The Dharma that you decide to make your daily practice. Okay. Nyamso Lenje Chö.
Is that the Kyabche Babunka's bomb room? Similar to that?
Sort of. No, that's a little bit different.
Is it different in your hands?
Yeah. Okay. That one's hard to translate. It's usually mistranslated. Mm. It means if you study with a good Lama, he can just, you know, here, stick your hand out. He said, here's liberation. You know, you gotta catch it, though. No, that's what Rinpoche Lakshan means. The title of that book is, it's not liberation in your hands, meaning that's your problem. You know, it's in your hands. I don't care.
No, I just thought it was interesting. You made it sound like putting into practice is like
he just, you hold out your hand in the long way. There you go.
The liberation that he gives to you.
Yeah, it's into the palm of your
He gives it to your hand.
I don't know how to translate that, but it, you know, it's like here, have it.
He puts it in your hand.
On a silver platter.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, on a silver platter would have been a good translation. Anyway, what are the qualities that a good Dharma should have? Okay, we defined it. An authentic teacher. Now we're going to define an authentic Dharma. Right? And Kyabje Pabonka says, Chö means what?
Dharma.
Okay, Chö means Dharma. Kung means authoritative source, good source, real source. What do you call it? Authoritative or?
Authentic.
It refers to the source, the Kung of a river is the snow on the mountain, for example. You say, where's the kum of this Ganges River? Oh, it's the snow up in those Himalayan mountains. That's where it flows from. So kum means the teacher, the source from which it has come. Kum me, I think Kali might know me.
It is not.
Right, or doesn't have. Sourceless, okay? Not having a good source. Me means not having a good source. You won't be quizzed on this. I just want you to see the sentence. It's a beautiful sentence. Kume la. La means what? All the words to, in, at, for, on. I mean, learn Tibetan. Come on. They're all one word in Tibetan.
La.
Okay? La means
to.
You'll see what it means. Lo. Do you guys know what Losar is in Tibet?
Losar is New Year.
Yeah, Losar is New Year. Lo means year and Sar means new. So Lo means year. Year. Dong is the Dong in emptiness, same spelling, but this word has nothing to do with that. This is another word of the same spelling. It means 1,000. Okay. Lo Dong means 1,000 years. Do means four, F-O-R. Rupa in Sanskrit is Siddha. Siddhartha is Jindup. It means to practice. Practice. Yeah. Consider it the result of practice. Practiced. But this is the verb. Practice. That's Dukpa. I think that's the Dukpa Patana. Dukpa Che. Che means to do. 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 So, if I tell you that Tibetan normally runs backwards from English, Laura, how will you guess to translate this line so far?
To do practice for 1,000 years
of a
Dharma that has no authority.
Good. Nice. Okay?
You can practice, you can try to practice for 1,000 years a Dharma which has no source, okay? Which is not authoritative. Gyang, you can guess what Gyang is.
But.
Good. Nice. Okay. But we had Dokpa. It was a synonym for Lam.
Or idea or something.
Realization. We can call them the three principal paths, or we can call them the three principal Dokpa.
Dokpa means realization.
Right.
Dokpa like is you've been meditating on renunciation, Lam. And suddenly one day you get up and you realize you don't need a single thing in this world. You know, that means nothing. None of it, you can use it, but you don't need any of it. You don't need one single thing in New York City. Nothing. Dokpa. That would be a Dokpa. Tenden means authentic, real, accurate, correct. Yeah. Real in the sense of accurate, correct. You can come up with a Dokpa like that's not Tenden. A Dokpa that's not Tenden would be something like, renunciation means I have to give up all my money today. And you go outside and you give away all your money. It's not what renunciation is. You can. The Dalai Lama and the Panchen Lama were the two wealthiest people in Tibet, but they had renunciation. It doesn't refer to how much you have, it's what you think about it.
It's a passion.
And the Dalai Lama used to say, one of the Dalai Lamas used to say, I only own my bell and my two ritual instruments. I don't own all the rest of this. I don't feel like it's fun. Okay. Tenden. Nechik means one sliver. Okay, one sliver. Chik means one. Ne means like a sliver. Tiny, tiny piece. Mike. You know what that means. Mi is what? Ma, M sounds in Tibetan are always what?
Negative.
Also female. I'm not making a joke. Not. Ke. Ke means develop, get, okay. To get or to develop. So, John, if you read it backwards, from the butt that Vilma supplied, you can practice 1,000 years a Dharma that has no authority, has no source, no resource, but
you will not develop one sliver of
right.
Realization.
Right. Okay. Impossible. And maybe you've had it happen to you. I don't know. I don't judge it. But if you've gone to some teaching, and if it was Kung Me, and you really did honestly try to practice it, and nothing happened, it won't.
So this is this Chu here is referring
to
the
like
general
the, yeah.
Dharma, not the capital
of
Dharma.
Course.
I mean, the Dharma was practiced without the blessing of Marpa. It was a real Dharma, but he had no blessing from Marpa, so nothing was happening. Remember?
Right.
It was a real Dharma.
Yeah.
But he had not the empowerment, so nothing was happening, and then he wandered.
Well, maybe there was no Kung because he didn't get the belt.
What's the translation of the second part there?
But you won't develop a tiny one sliver of true realization. If you don't, you can practice for 1,000 years some dharma, and you've tried it. You've had practices. You've gone to certain teachings in your life. There's certain, I would say there's certain non-Buddhist teachings that are just impossible. They don't work. And you try. People try their whole lives, and then they come to really depressed, and they say, just nothing happened. You know, after all these years, nothing happened. If nothing happens, then there's only two possibilities. The dharma is defective. It's not a real dharma. Or you're not practicing it. But if it's a real dharma, and if you practice it, something's got to click. Some things have got to happen. Some things will happen.
So you're saying, and Milarepa perhaps is an example, that no matter how heinous the person you are, no matter how much bad, obstructing karma you may have, sooner or later it has to give if you're practicing an authentic dharma.
Yeah. The dharma is...
It's not like it's all building up and then in your next life you're going to come out like knowing everything.
No, not like that. And I say, try it. Just try it. You know? I claim that the dharma you will learn is authentic. And then if you just try it, things will start happening. Then you will notice unusual things happen. Okay. Then he says, in his next line, he says, Man dene chisubha dan dawiyin. And I didn't write it up there. He says, and in Tibet, butter is a big, big deal. Okay, they live on butter. Vegetables don't grow up there very well. There's no bacteria. It's up high with this ultraviolet sunlight. You can keep butter outside for years, and it won't spoil. You can leave...
Well, it kind of spoils.
It's a little chewy after
it. By the way, the yak is the bull. The yak is the male. So never say
so
yak
butter.
All right. So he says it's like if you wanted butter and you put water into one of those Tibetan churns, and you sat there for 1,000 years, you know, and nothing will happen. No butter will ever come. It's impossible. And for a Tibetan, that example is very, you know, it's like driving a car with no gas, you know, sitting in the car for years. No gas. It's a very much a part of Tibetan culture. So what is a Nyamsa Lenje Cho? What is the dharma that you should try to practice? What kind of dharma should you try to practice? We're going to have three qualities. Okay? The three qualities are on your homework. And they probably are on your quiz.
And I'm going to shorten them. They are in the text.
Okay. Michael, has anybody taken the trouble to make some fonts for the PC, Tibetan fonts?
That's for these kids?
So those that's an independent font program that'll work with any word processor, or it has to
no,
be there?
No, it only works with word processor.
Oh. Somebody made some two-type fonts. They work with everything. But
they
don't quite work yet.
They don't work yet?
He made a rough version and he went into a two-year retreat. Jimmy's waiting.
How far along is he in this retreat?
2 months or something.
So he gave up on his font making.
Well, maybe he's perfecting it there.
But maybe he went into the retreat because of his attempt to get more virtue before he finished.
This is the first quality. Okay. If I were going to write it in Tibetan, it would look something. But don't worry about that.
Is it number one?
I thought number one.
We have to worry about this.
That's right.
Yeah.
So please say Dumba.
Dumba.
Sangye Ki.
Sangye Ki.
Sumba.
Sumba.
Dumba.
Dumba.
Sangye Ki.
Sangye Ki.
Sumba.
Sumba.
The first quality of a Nyamsa Lenje Che. Okay? First quality of a Nyamsa Lenje Che. And it's a very important point, you know. Do not expose your mind, your precious mind, which is very plastic, you know, whatever you expose it to, it will take on that shape, to a dharma, or a so-called dharma, which doesn't have these three qualities. It's like poison. It's poison. And it will hurt you. Your mind takes on the quality of the dharma that you think of. You know, you wouldn't expose your body to AIDS virus, blah, blah, blah. A bad Dharma could hurt you much, much worse. It could kill you from AIDS. Yeah, probably a long edit. It's very, very serious. Your spiritual real estate is very fragile, very young, like a young bud, very sensitive, and easily poisoned. And you have to be very careful who you let fool around with your mind, your spiritual mind. So that teaching, you should check out what he's teaching. The first quality is that Dhimba means what? It means the teacher, capital T. You know who that is.
Sangye? Yeah. Sangye is the teacher?
Yep, that's Sangye. What's Sangye mean?
Buddha.
The teacher, the Buddha.
The teacher,
in our world, meaning Shakyamuni Buddha, or sometimes Maitreya Buddha, yeah?
What's the that? Teacher, comma, the Buddha, or the teacher, the Buddha?
Buddha, the teacher.
Okay.
When we say Dhamma in Tibetan, everybody knows what we're talking about. The teacher, capital T. Meaning, it doesn't even refer to your own Lama. It only refers to Shakyamuni Buddha. Normally. Dhamma Sangye Ki means by him. Sumba means stated, said, spoken by the Buddha.
Spoken.
Which is by him.
The key is the by. So as in normal in Tibetan, we go backwards. That Nyamsa Lenje Chö, that Dharma which you allow yourself to practice, that Dharma which you give your precious lifetime to, the precious moments of your day that you have available for Dharma practice, which are very few, should have been stated by the Buddha, should have been taught by the Buddha. That eliminates, in my opinion, a hell of a lot of teaching. Okay?
There's so much out there.
No, there's a lot of weird stuff. People, you know, it's that Americans don't know. Americans are fresh in the Dharma, they're naive, they're innocent. There's like whole thousands of these guys over there. They come over, they dream of coming to America and you know, letting loose with their latest philosophy, you know. And for whatever motivation, you know, I don't know. But eventually people like you will, I mean, people are becoming more sophisticated now. Americans are learning, oh yeah, well that's not Dharma. You know, that's obviously not Dharma. It's obviously you can't find that in ever spoken by the Buddha. That's just this guy's own idea.
Are you talking about Tibetans when you say these people coming over here? Or
I'm
people from India? Or
Talking about Tibetans. I'm talking about Tibetans.
So there's Tibetans.
Yeah. People like you will get educated in what you will come to obviously learn is the Buddhism that the Buddha taught. And then you'll pick up one of those books and you'll say, you know, it sounds nice, but it's wrong. I never heard anything like that. You will come to that.
Does that mean it's the sutras? That's the only thing that he really...
I'm going to show you.
There's a book called What the Buddha Never Taught.
Really. And if the time will come, you know, what will happen is those teachings, quote, will die out because they don't work. You know? They weren't taught by the Buddha.
There's always a fresh crop to replace them.
By the way, what is the quality of the Buddha? I mean, what? He's omniscient. He sees us right now. The Buddha, 2,500 years ago, he has the quality of being here. He's absolutely here. He is here as much as you or I am. He's here all the time. And so do you have to update the Buddha, you know, or do you have to... omniscient being doesn't know what John Stilwell is going to be thinking 24 hours from now. Or what's appropriate from his for him. No. He's okay. Don't worry. He knows what to teach. He knows what to do. You know, you don't have to worry about it.
But the Dalai Lama has said that if modern science proves that something that was taught by the Buddha is correct, that you have to go with modern science.
But it won't.
Well, I think it already has in a couple of instances. This has to do with the cosmology, the reckoning of time. Somehow.
His Holiness is trying to
accommodate
Westerners, and he's learned to do that. But if you study the Abhidharma, which you will study cosmology, and it seems pretty weird. Well, there's this plate of gold, and under that there's a whirlwind, and the ocean lies on that gold, And you may think at that point, and I've heard His Holiness say, that cosmology seems to be wrong. When you reach Madhyamika and the teaching of the glass, and the water, you guys had it, some of you, in the last... we had the teaching of... No, maybe you were... Then you will see that that cosmology is quite possible. You know, it's very interesting. He has to accommodate Western people. He can't go around saying, yes, the world is a two-class.
Actually, I think the remark was not directed at Westerners. It was directed to them.
Even more for them, who are exposed to science and don't understand Buddhism. So anyway...
Well, that also presupposes, carried in its extreme, if it's correct, Western science, which is not always the case either. A lot of this stuff is theorizing and getting changed.
So the highest teachings of modern science, as I understand them, in the small...
Oh, confirmed.
I was studied some physics and light theory recently and stuff like that, and it's quite...
Oh, that's
quite...
Western science is to say you got to drill holes
in people. That omniscience comes from understanding something very well so that you can know that past and that future.
There's a debate about it. She brought up a good point, and it's brought up in the Abhidhamma question. They say, is the Buddha's omniscience simply a very incredible ability to extrapolate the future based on what he sees now and based on his incredible intellect? Does he deduce the future? No, he sees it directly. Okay? It's interesting. That point is debated.
Yeah, the concept of linear time is no longer there.
Yeah, he sees all time and all places in one moment. And more revolutionary, which you can't appreciate fully yet, is that he can see emptiness directly, and he can still experience normal objects directly, which is totally impossible for us. Okay, so Dzogchen Sangye Kyesumbo means first quality of a dana which you allow to enter your life and take up your precious time, is that the Buddha should have taught it. Okay. I'll give you some examples. I Xeroxed the table of contents of the canon. Okay. What do we have left that the Buddha said? Okay. Just for your interest, okay? We're working on a project to input the whole thing on computer. And so there are 1,000 books left. If you want to be exact, it's 1,108. That are considered the speech of the Buddha in Tibetan. Tibetan has the most of any other language. More of the Buddha's speech is preserved in Tibetan than in any other current language.
Now, does that mean while Shakyamuni, while he was here on Earth, or does it also mean like
also
the Sangha speaking with Maitreya?
It also includes former Buddhas. The teachings of Maitreya, since he is only considered a Buddha in the secret teachings of Buddhism and not in the open teachings of Buddhism, were put into the commentary, the human commentary, which we're not, I haven't got that to that yet.
And then the teachings of Tsongkhapa, as dictated by a gentle voice, for instance, would be in
which
category?
Considered in the commentary. Okay. The what we have left of the 84,000 huge collections of teachings that the Buddha gave is called the Gangyur. The first Western people to ever come across these books came across them in East Tibet. And the Eastern Tibetans called them Gangyur. Like, hey, y'all doing? This is Buddha's speech. And so for all these years, Western scholars have mispronounced this word. Conjure. So if you see it spelled conjure, you know why. Buddha's speech. Conjure. Okay. Ga means the word. Okay. Yur means translated. Why is it called that? It's translated from Sanskrit. And it was originally written in Sanskrit, spoken in Sanskrit, and we have it in the translation. Okay, so the canon that we now have, what we have left of the Buddha's speech, the 1,100 books, which fits into 100 volumes, 100 big volumes. We have one down in New Jersey. That's what we have down in New Jersey. That's the Buddha's direct teachings by a Buddha.
Of all of the teachings of the Buddha, how many are speculated as lost? You know, there are a thousand remaining extant, so I think they lost another thousand.
There's a big discussion of it in the Abhidharma Kosha. You'll get there.
You mean there was 11,000 at the time of the Abhidharma Kosha? Or has there been some lost since then?
A lot lost since then. Yeah. Many, many lost since then. But even in the time of the Abhidharma Kosha, it was recognized that it was generally considered that you could say somewhere around 300,000-400,000
books.
Text.
And there's 1,000 left.
There was a great massacre of Buddhism during the 8th, 9th century by Muslims who came to India. And every book was burned. Every monastery was destroyed.
Wow.
There is no Buddhism left in India.
Now, is that a dharma that did that, or was that would-be dharma that did that?
Okay, Kanyur, okay? The general structure of the Kanyur, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to know that. It's not on the... But just so you know the kind of books that are in the Kanyur. The first section of the Kanyur is called Dula, which means Vinaya. And that's the whole section on vowed morality. There are 8 different types of vows that a person can take. And that whole first section of the Kanyur is devoted to the vowed morality. That will be the last subject that you study in the 5-year course. No, because by then you're gonna be a monk or a nun, actually. No, you don't have to be. You can take lifetime layman's vows, 5 vows, which everybody should take by then. And then you were allowed to study it, so I couldn't teach you that in the beginning. So that's Vinaya. The next category is the perfection of wisdom. And those are those really famous sutras about it. I've seen that in Puravada.
Pranayaparamita?
Yeah.
I need to ask a question. Dulwa is the name of the first section.
Right.
Vinaya is the name of the...
It's the Sanskrit translation of Dulwa. Dula is the Tibetan word.
Oh, okay.
And Vinaya is the Sanskrit word. The Tibetans translated the word Vinaya as Dulwa, meaning that which tames you, that which controls you. The same word as the first quality that we had for a lama.
And also, did he say, he said 1,100 books, 100 volumes,
yeah.
What is left of the canon?
Of the Buddha's speech, the Buddha's own speech. The speech of an enlightened being, we only have left 1,100 books. Well, I mean, it's probably more than that. If you want to know, it's the amount of scriptures you could write with the ink that could be carried on the back of the elephant of Indra, who can carry like tons. And that's the actual measurement.
So where do we get the 108 sutras from? Is there a special subcategory? I thought there was 108 sutras.
Well, there isn't. That's what I'm getting to next. Next, there are three sections of sutras. They're basically the sutra sections.
This is the third section.
Yeah, there's more sections than that, but I'm just trying to abbreviate it for you. The next three sections are all basically basic sutras. Sutra means
Sutta?
A teaching of the Buddha, which is not secret. A teaching by the Buddha himself, which is not secret. By the way, in the second or third course, you will study these things very, very deeply. You'll go into them very deeply. What is the Buddha's teaching? If the Buddha goes like that to a student, is it the Buddha's word? You know, can the Buddha pretend to be a tree and teach you something by whispering a certain way in the wind? He can. And he will. And he does. It's very interesting. And you will study all those sections of the way he can teach people. It's in the perfection of wisdom, which we will study in the second and third. Okay. The next section, and I'll call it the final section, is the tantras. Tantra means a secret teaching given directly by the Buddha.
Is the three vehicles? Is that three vehicles?
No, that's a different thing. Tantra means... Tantra, you can divide the whole speech of the Buddha into the open speech, which anyone can study, and then the secret speech, which you need permission to study, and what else do you need to study?
Wong.
Nah. Give me a good answer.
Wong?
What do you need to study tantra?
Oh,
Namsa.
Mahamudra.
Trying to practice Tantra without Lama Samantan is at best nothing happens, and normally a big disaster. Something very bad will happen to you. You will screw up your spiritual real estate for thousands.
So you can get wrong without Lama Samantan?
What is wrong?
Yeah, you could go to initiation and try to take an initiation without having Lama Samantan, and at best nothing would happen. At worst, you'd have some real disasters.
So what you mean when you say is somebody can get an empowerment?
They wouldn't get the empowerment. They would sit in the empowerment, and everyone would say John Stillwell was at the Kala Chakra, but he didn't.
But he couldn't pry the book open. And
nothing would happen in his mind.
Seems pretty extreme.
No, the Tantra is the result of Lama Samantan.
Yeah, I mean,
it is the natural. I wanted to emphasize that it is the natural outcome of Lama Samantan. Lama Samantan is a seed, you plant it, you put all the water, heat, good fertilizer, and what comes up is Tantra. And you can't stop it once you've got all the heat, fertilizer, water, good seed. You know, you couldn't stop it if you wanted to. You could stand there and say, don't come up, don't come up, don't come up. You know, and then if you stand there in front of a desert and beg this thing to come up, it cannot come up. It will never come up. Tantra is the natural outcome of knowing the Lama Samantan. It will just come. You will experience it. It will happen to you. But not without those three principal paths. Impossible.
Michael, put it safer in the thought of being self-secret.
In other words, providing
your... In a way, it's secret by definition. Yeah.
I mean, not only that you're not given the teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't have Lama Samantan,
you hear it and you don't hear it.
It'll always be a secret. Really. You'll hear everything and nothing will happen. And you know many people who've gone to many, many initiations.
So then...
And just nothing happens.
So then, why is it secret? It's secret because people who don't have Lama Samantan might try to interpret it anyway. Isn't that correct?
Well, why is it secret?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never studied it. All right. Second quality.
Did you say the Tantra had secret and open sections? That was
No. The whole Buddhist word is secret. What we call Dhamma, Sutra, and Tantra.
Okay. And all the Tantra is secret. No open.
Tantra means secret. The word means secret.
I thought like action Tantras and such were just taught openly.
They teach them openly, but...
not supposed to.
Not. Second quality.
Same.
That third, not the basic sutra. There's not like subcategories. The third, but it is three. Number three is three basic.
Three sutras, three sections.
Is this the second one?
Yeah. Second quality of an authentic teaching that is worth your time.
It seems to me that the first one is assuming sort of too much already. It doesn't...
How so?
Well, I mean, you have to assume that the Buddha is that those ideas are something that have
merit.
Some, yeah.
Yeah. But that's a question.
Can I say something about that?
Let me say something. There's a section in that we study which is called Timur Giva. It's the second chapter of the Pramanavartika, which is the root logic text composed by Dharmakirti in maybe the 700s. He spent the whole chapter on proving that the Buddha can't lie.
That the Buddha,
Buddha cannot lie.
Cannot lie.
And all I'd say is this. When you enter Buddhism at the beginning, there's a certain amount of attraction to it. There's something that causes you to get into it. Beyond, you can't know that it's correct before you study it. So there's something that attracts you to it. For me, and I think for most people, it was the teaching that everything is suffering. You know, that was so accurate to my experience, and the teaching that things start to fall apart the minute they start. You know, those two ideas attracted me as a young man. To me, that was such an accurate description of what I had already experienced in my life. That I thought, well, this is worthwhile.
It's
must be worthwhile. And that's all. You have to. There's something that attracted you at the beginning. Yeah. The beginning is, you can't know it's right because you haven't studied it yet.
They're calling the Burning House Sutra. I don't know if it's a sutra. There is
story of the Buddha.
Yeah, Buddha is really justifying lying, right?
Well, he justifies attracting people by saying something that's not
right.
True, just to get them to do the right thing at the beginning.
What about Rinpoche taught us that the Buddha taught that, of course, when you first come to something like Dharma, if you knew it already, you wouldn't need the Dharma. So, but on the other hand, you have a certain amount of wisdom to begin with and a certain amount of responsibility. And you check. He said, don't accept what I say on faith. Cook it, you know, cut it, burn it, scratch it. It's like gold, you know, and use your own wisdom. And you come to Dharma with a certain amount of wisdom already. And in fact, I think Rinpoche told me that's why I'm supposed to put my thumbs inside my fingers like that to signify that I'm coming to the Dharma with some wisdom already.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so please say Pandite.
Pandite.
Kyun.
Sawa.
Sawa. Pandite.
Pandite.
Kyun.
Sawa.
Pandit is a pandit. It's a Sanskrit word that came into Sanskrit.
Into English too, right? A pandit.
Yeah, it means a wise man, a master.
Political pundit.
Yeah, that's right? From the Anglo-Indian.
David Gergen.
Kyun means... don't write anything down, help me with it. It means problem, fault, defect. It's what could have crept into the teachings up to the time that they got to us. Or clarify. Sawa means to clear away, clean them out.
Corruptions.
Kieran. Impurities
or misplaced yachts and tittles.
Well, textual and practice. We get a lot of kids going on nowadays, and we're trying to sell with them supposedly right now. So, clear them. Try to remove them. Okay. It means that in any teaching, you know, certain wrong ideas start to make their appearance. I can give you a few in modern Buddhism, but the idea that nirvana means some kind of nothingness that you reach and you go into nothing. That's not a Buddhist teaching at all. Nirvana is the permanent cessation of your bad emotions. You can attain it right now.
So are you saying then that there are some Buddhist schools that are misrepresenting nirvana, or this is some people who really aren't Buddhist academics who are saying
that's
interpreting?
One. And the other one is obviously emptiness. The idea that emptiness means no meaning. The idea that emptiness means nothing has any nature. And therefore you can do whatever you want. It's totally, totally opposite of what is the truth. It's totally wrong. Totally wrong.
Some Lama was writing that the sixth realm, you know, when they tend to create fear on you, but it's a psychological state.
That's bullshit too.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, complete bullshit.
So what?
That there's no hell. Hell is a psychological state of a human being.
Yeah.
Forget it. Completely wrong.
But how come some teachers will say, well, if you'll either be born in like this hot hell, or if you're born as a human, then these circumstances in your human life will prevail.
That's correct.
Well,
but there's been people in this country teaching that those six realms, desire realm, and the hell realm, human realm, that they don't exist, that they're psychological states of the human being. That's completely wrong.
That they're metaphorical.
Yeah, I'm not metaphorical. It's completely wrong. It's akin. And like that, there's a lot, and they're coming more and more because lamas are learning English. They come over, they write their own ideas, you know, and it gets strange.
And did that many really have big lamas over there?
It's a good question. I mean, are these people really lamas, or they're half baked lamas at this point, or they're totally not lamas?
There's a lot of Tibetan teaching who don't have any training. They're not referring to the scriptures at all. They don't know any of them.
So they just happen to be
They're just telling you what they think, or what maybe they heard from somebody.
Some uneducated
but they don't have any background in the teachings.
Huh.
They don't have... You find the quotation in some of their books from any Buddhist scripture.
Are these monks and nuns, or are these...
I say just, you can judge for yourself in a few years, okay? You can judge for yourself. I don't have to point out this person, this person. You can judge for yourself. You learn the sutras. And you learn the shastra, commentaries. The real commentaries, the real words of the Buddha, as he said them, in the books. And then you can go check out the books and you can say, I open up a book now, they go, yeah, please. Give me a break. You know, you just read one page and you say, come on, you know. There's no such thing as in the scripture.
It seems so esoteric into a real way of
thinking. No, there's a like what you call good feeling. Good feeling. Mm. Good heart. Being nice. That's not the goal. You want a mission so you can help people. You want a body that doesn't change. You want a Dharmakaya and a Rupakaya. We studied it. You want to reach total enlightenment so you can help people. It's not that you're going to live in a dirty, mortal, suffering body like this and have a nice attitude. Or be kind of friendly, you know? No, it's not. And don't let them shortchange you with that. But the point of the teaching is to remove your suffering forever, mental and physical. In this life, you can attain a kind of body which will never have suffering again, and a kind of mind which will never have a bad thought, never be upset again, period. Never have any mental suffering again forever. That's the goal. It's not to, you know, we're more friendly than the other religions. No, it's a big trap. It's a big problem. You go for the big time. You get the, they'll be friendly too. No, you will. You really will. Okay, so, Sanditas, which means the great historical masters, must have, and in his text, Kwabonka says, they must have checked whether or not there are problems in the teaching. They must have ripped it apart, analyzed it, debated, written, argued with each other. Logically come to the conclusion that this is not part of the teaching. This is some kind of defense that's gotten into the teaching. And I'll tell you something. After you've read three or four of the great books, and then you pick up any other book, you'll spot it. It sticks out. You know, you'll say, no, this is... I read a translation of the Diamond Card Sutra the other day, you know. Just ridiculous, you know. And you just pick it up and you say... He wouldn't say that. You know, a lot of translating ability later comes from knowing what it's supposed to say. Mm. You know, you see something unusual, like the Heart Sutra says, emptiness is colors and shapes, and you say, oh well, it's, I know it's not, it must be some kind of allegory or something, and it is. Okay, so by the way, these are the commentaries, these are the classical commentaries, and they are all in a collection called the Dengyu.
So pundits' corruption is clear. Pundits have cleared the, or kept the texts clear of corruption,
the teachings.
The teaching.
Yeah, clean. They are constantly reviewing, constantly analyzing, constantly comparing it with what is known to be pure, and they are doing the process of what we're doing tonight. We're trying to isolate ideas that have crept into so-called Buddhism that don't belong to Buddhism at all.
And then they get rid of them.
Publish their results.
But then, is this like an example of different schools, for instance, that, you know, there's an idea that crept in and some people adhered to it, and what's the famous,
oh, yeah.
Kamala Shila, I think, is the one that Rinpoche talks about, and somebody tried to disprove that person, and then that was found to be not correct.
Yeah, that's a good example, but the famous debate, probably it's in the 9th century, I think, or 10th century, an Indian master wanted to teach what emptiness really was, which is a lack of cause and effect, a lack of cause and effect. And a Chinese master wanted to say that emptiness means nothing. When you meditate on emptiness, the point is to just clear your mind, peaceful, let it float into the buoy. And they debated it in the court of the king of Tibet. And Kamlashila won. The Chinese was, his name was Huashang, and he was banned. And those teachings were banned from Tibet.
They were
banned. They were not allowed to be taught. This very, very bad view, this poisonous view, that emptiness means, nothing.
Danger. Ten means ten means commentary of a human being.
So the second quality
is I'm giving it that way. It doesn't. There's technically that could be worse. Like the Tibetan works are not in the opinion, but they're certainly. But I'm just giving you the prime example of this would be the danger. Zen means commentaries written by a human being as opposed to a Buddha. Gyuri, you know already. What? What was the Gyuri Kangyu?
Translated.
These are the translated classical commentaries by early Indian masters, Nagarjuna, Sangha, Vasubandhu, Dharmakirti, Chandrakirti, Aryadeva. These are the great commentaries of early Buddhism.
And so are you saying the Tengyur, the commentaries, are the sort of tearing apart and analyzing of the first word?
Incredible. Yeah, incredible. And then you have a whole lineage of commentaries up to the things we will study, which are written in the 17th century, 18th century.
So since we're relying so much upon the masters to tear apart, analyze, and validate the Buddhist teachings, what is the likelihood of the masters having incorrect view, flawed analysis, etc., and that creeping in?
Oh, there are books written about that subject. In fact, I just sent one to the publisher today in Tibetan. There's a whole study of that subject, and you'll get to it. We'll spend a lot of time on it.
My question is it likely that a lot of that has happened? And what is the Buddhist teaching where the masters have incorrectly...
Are they really scrutinizing the Buddhist teaching, or are they scrutinizing the bodies of text that were available at the time that they were alive to see if it was the Buddhist teaching or not?
Both. But also just what accords with Buddhist practice, which fits the third thing which I'm going to tell you about. But basically... you'll see that the great teachers of Buddhism have actually taken slight... Asanga, for example, taught the mind-only school. He did not accept the mind-only school. He is the founder of the mind-only school. He didn't believe the mind-only school. He didn't accept the mind-only school. He wrote all the books for the mind-only school. Okay.
Did he, change his mind later?
No,
or
he wrote them while he was already a Madhyamika.
And this was for people who couldn't deal with Madhyamika?
For people who needed that particular teaching, he taught it. His brother, Vasubandhu, was not a Vaibhashika. He was not an Abhidharmist, but he wrote the book for the benefit of people who couldn't handle the higher teaching. So we'll get to that. Very interesting. What's the third quality? We'll do the third quality and we'll take a break. By the way, I want to give you just some idea of the contents of the Tengyur. Tengyur contains about 3,400 works. 3,400 separate works.
Works being books, verses?
Treatises. Some of them take up 1,000 pages. Some of them take about 3 pages. They are contained in about 216 volumes. Depends on the edition.
Did you say 3,400 or 1,000?
3,400.
What's the third? Can we guess on it?
Hang on a second. I'll give you some of the contents of the Tengyur, okay? You're not going to get quizzed on it, just for your own information. The first big section of Tengyur is Tantra. Commentaries on Tantra. In there you get Naropa's commentary, for example. and then the perfection of wisdom, which is the lower of the two Madhyamika schools. So basically, the tenure, already in the tenure, you see the four great schools of Buddhism. And that's what you're going to study in the next 5 years. You're going to study the four great schools of ancient Buddhism.
Is the perfection of wisdom the same as the Prajnaparamita, the Kangyur? It's a commentary on it.
Same name, slightly different meaning.
Yeah.
By the
middle way.
Madhyamika. The word Madhya comes from Sanskrit. It came into English as medium. Middle. The word middle comes from the second
term. That means you're a middle child? Maybe she was...
No, no, no.
She's the second term of the wheel, I don't remember.
We'll study it. In fact, it'll be in the second course. We're going to study the three turnings of the wheel. When did the Buddha teach Madhyamika? When did he teach perfection of wisdom? When did he teach Tantra? The next category is Dodo, which is commentaries on the sutra. Direct Dodo, which means they take a specific sutra and they explain it. For example, you would get in there, you would get a Sangha's commentary to the Dhammakara Sutra, for example. Kamalashila's commentary to the same.
So the tantric section would be just commentaries on the tantra in general? As
yeah, by the way, the tantric section is huge. It's 2,000 volumes. 2,000 works are just devoted to tantra.
Right, but they're not on any specific tantra.
No, they are. Yeah, there'll be like 20 commentaries on the Kala Chakra tantra.
Oh, I see. When you say commentaries on sutras, you mean commentaries on open teachings of the Buddha.
Right, right, right.
And then the tantras, the tantric commentaries are commentaries on closed teachings of the Buddha.
Right. Next is the mind-only school, Pemtham, Sutta-Matha. Very, very, very interesting. That is the incredible presentation of... how karma is stored in your mind. Very interesting. Next is Abhidharma. Next is Abhidharma. Abhidharma is the lowest school of the four, and we're going to spend some good time on that. Because their presentation, for example, of karma is unequal. Their presentation of karma is accepted by everybody. Their presentation of the vows is the system that we go by. Monks in the Tibetan tradition, we follow the
laws of morality.
The whole Vinaya comes from the Himalaya. And then you get the actual Vinaya, commentaries on Vinaya. Then you get birth stories, Kiras, which are, they're called birth stories. These are the Jataka. These are the what happened in the former lives of the Buddha. The birth stories. And what did he do?
When he gave himself
to
the tiger.
That's in a sutra called the Golden Light Sutra. Subhana Prabhupada. It's beautiful. Fantastic. We read, that was the first thing we ever read in these classes, like 12 years ago.
Michael, in this book they say that Buddha took 3 long years to prepare himself to be. So, how come a tantric student can be liberated, but it's different to be liberated than to become a Buddha?
No. Whole Buddha with tantra in this life. Equivalent to 10 to the 60th power times 3.
Well, maybe it's, you don't mean to say that the Buddha completed this Buddhahood without tantra, did he?
Without what?
Tantra.
He did.
3 eons. Okay, anyway, here we go. Next are epistles, letters. And those, for example, Nagarjuna's letter to the king, Nagarjuna's friendly letter, these are letters, the small verse works that famous scholar Pandits wrote to Qing, for example. The next category is called pramana, and that means logic. Logic. The study of logic and perception. It's incredible. You will really enjoy it. How do you see things? You know, how do you image things? What's the nature of it? This is what we start to get into today. When we get there, you'll have all your answers.
I'll believe it when I image it.
A monk spends 18 years. We spend about 3 months a year. We stop all our other studies and we just do logic and perception for 3 months. And in the final month, you do it like 16 hours a day. You're debating about 12 hours a day. And it's incredible. You don't really like it. Next are Jado. Then you get into what we call the minor sciences of Buddhism. Jado means the study of Sanskrit. This is not, again, this is now out of the spiritual realm. These are the technical books. Okay? Jado are the old Hindu scriptures on how to read Sanskrit, how to explain English grammar. Then you get Sorigpa, which means the medical scriptures. The great books on medicine. Then you get Sorigpa, which is the great books on the fine arts, painting, sculpture, constructing mandalas, constructing stupas. Very interesting stuff. Sorigpa, as opposed to Sorigpa, which is medicine.
So that's like the five sciences.
Yeah, now we get to the minor sciences. Then you have Tumonwe Luki Denja, which means these are treatises which are accepted by both Buddhists and non-Buddhists. Examples, there's the Ratna Sutra, the how to evaluate gemstones. there's a sutra, there's a lot of shastras on how to run a government, things like that. And that's basically it. There's a few of my other sections. But I just want to give you an idea of the structure. There are some non-Buddhist texts in the Tengyur. But when I say Tengyur, I'm referring only to the Buddhist sections. There are Hindu grammar texts. The Rig Veda, the Vedas are in the Tengyur. So yeah, they're called Rigche. There's sections of Rigche in the Tengyur. And the ancient, some of the ancient, like Dandi, the great poetry, the Kavya, the fantastic Sanskrit poetry is in there. Megadutta, if you've ever read it,
what's his name?
Dandi. Yeah, like, incredible poetry, like, what do you call it? Like, the Odyssey.
Why would those kinds of works be included in the text?
Just because it's considered desirable after you finish your spiritual studies to learn some of those things, that you can be more effective. If you could build a good stupa, you'd be a more effective Buddhist. But you're not allowed to study those until you finish your philosophical studies and your tantric studies.
And you can relate to people better too if you're
If you know
better. Well, I mean, how to make a nice government? I mean, is that like because people ask good Buddhists how to do that if they're renowned enough?
There's
so this is like the orthodox view of making governments?
No, it's not a Nambe science. There's no form. I mean, there is a form, but it can't pick up.
It's not something that the Buddha taught about making governments. It's the impression that the people who follow the Buddha would have about making
it. It's a Hindu work on how to run a good government.
Not Buddhist.
But it was just considered a literary classic at the time and included in
this is to make great scholars,
useful to know.
Good at cocktail parties or something?
You were going to guess number three.
It seems like a local cultural and social thing that makes that...
At the end. No, there's a specific dividing line. These are the non-Buddhist sciences. Okay, or there are sciences which are Tumoa. Tumoa means, they know how to build stupas and we know how to build stupas. And we both agree on how to build stupas. What do you guess is number three?
That it works for people.
Yeah.
That's
true.
That it has a result.
That's what it is.
No. Like, was it? I mean, do people really learn or read the entire Tengyur and Tengyur nowadays?
I mean, in practice, a Buddhist monk who, forget the layman, they read as much Buddhist literature as Christians, Americans, Swedes, Christian commentaries. Really, they will never go beyond a few basic words.
Present company excluded.
Yeah. But monks will rely on the monastic textbook presentation of the five great books, which represent the four great schools, which explain the whole Kangyur.
which we're going to use. Right?
They'll just work, they'll concentrate their whole life on those five books.
But that's still not all the Tengir and Kangir, is it?
Not at all. It's five works out of the 4,500. But they will memorize those five, they will learn them from top to bottom, and once you know those, you can read anything in the Kangir and Tengir.
And understand it.
Yes.
There's a Rosetta Stone of the Tengir and Kangir.
And that's exactly what you're going to study in these 5 years. That's the whole point. I'm just simplifying it. Yeah. Now you recognize realization, right? Tokpo?
Okay, Siddha?
Yeah, Tupa means Siddha. Siddha. It's the Tup in Dundu. It's the Siddha in Siddhartha.
Like a musical.
Jupa means practitioner, master practitioner, realized practitioner. Sage? Wangchuk is, I think, Indra. And it means someone who has total control over something. Okay. Jupe Wangshu means like a lord.
Lordly.
Of practice.
Lord of practice.
I mean a really, really master practitioner.
Sovereign practice. Okay.
A god of practice. He, by them, Thopa.
Wangshu means Indra?
Yeah, I believe so. Or it's Ishvara, maybe. Actually, it's Ishvara.
He is by them?
Yeah. So what it means is this.
By them realized?
It has to work. It has to work. If you practice it, it has to work.
It's produced realized beings.
Yeah. This teachings in the minds of those people who were able to, give it a good shot, it works. It produces realization.
Could you read that?
It produces realized.
It is realized by master practitioners. So what he actually says in here is, when master practitioners have gone to class and learned about it, and have gone home and contemplated it, and then have meditated upon what they concluded by their contemplation, they, in their mind, these realizations occur. It has to be the kind of teaching that if you hear it in a class, and then you go home and think about it carefully, and then you get some conclusion like, renunciation is correct. I think I better try to get it. When you actually meditate on it, you get it, and it helps you. It liberates you. And that in itself eliminates a lot of teachings going around. You can do it for 1,000 years and no Thopa will come. Just nothing will ever happen. And you've experienced that. It's like a car with no ignition. It looks like a Dharma teaching, but when you try it, nothing happens. And it's happened to you. You've tried things like that. I do. If you meditate on renunciation with a sincere effort for, 3-4 weeks, something should happen. Your viewpoint should start to change. And in a way that makes you more peaceful, actually. It will. You will be less vulnerable to the ups and downs at work, for example. One day you think you're this, and the next day they moved your desk over there. And you come back, and they give you an award, and the next day the boss yells at you, and you get confused. you'll become more able to. Those things will occur. They will still occur. Your state of mind will become different if you have renunciation. Okay, what time is it? Yeah,
5:00.
Let's start at 9:00. I have 3 small things to give you, and then we'll be done. I don't have to do your homework.
No.
What time?
No, Laura.
Okay, 3 qualities of a real teacher. Of something that's worth practicing. Okay. If it doesn't have those 3, forget it. Don't waste your time. You don't have much time, you're gonna die.
Can you say that last sentence one more time?
Yeah. Jupe Wang Shuki Sopa. It should have been, those things, that teaching should have been internalized or realized by the Lord practitioner, meaning the great practitioner of time, of all time.
That the great practitioner should have practiced it, and it worked for them.
Yeah, yeah. Should have brought.
Or that it has produced great lords, yeah. I would think.
No, that's not what the text says.
It's not in the book.
It's that.
In English?
Yeah, it's in the English. It's coming. It's in your reading.
So they practiced it because they were great lords and they could see the difference, or it produced great lords out of them by practicing it?
The grammar says great lords have realized it. It probably also
well,
implies...
Well, then that means that they were great lords before then.
It probably also implies that realizing it also made them great lords. That's not the grammar of the book. Obviously. Okay.
Which line?
It's the first line on page 19. It's the next last page in your young book. The commentary runs 70 pages, and I'm not handing it all out because it overworks my laser printer. And I was waiting for people to drop out. I was asked to print the whole thing like 30 times.
That's what happened to that strategy.
It's working on it.
People told me they're getting tired, but just bust your ass, okay? In 6 weeks, you'll survive. I'm surviving. I'm doing 7 classes a week. You're doing 2. Yeah, you're about a third of the way through. Come on. No, really. I mean, just suck it in, you know. Just be exhausted for 6 weeks. That's all right. And then you will have about a month and a half off. I'm going to India. I'm going to Russia.
So in other words, when we get tired, we should buy you tickets.
No, I mean, go ahead and get exhausted. You got 6 weeks to recover. Then it'll be winter time. It'll be fresh.
When does the next series start?
Around the next series will start around mid October.
Good. 2 months. Yeah.
We'll be gone the very first week in October.
In Mogadishu.
That doesn't sound like a great place to
honeymoon. Okay, I gotta rush because I have a lady who's gonna walk out of me. Please say
Surname.
London.
London.
Junior Wa.
Nyambonne.
One more time. Surname.
Surname.
London. Junior Wa.
Nyambonne.
This is from a commentary by Aryadeva, who is, after Nagarjuna, the greatest, he was the great teacher of emptiness, Majjhimika, right after Nagarjuna. Yeah. We don't know a lot about these early lamas, aside from their works. We don't know much about their lives. I mean, it was like 1700 years ago, 17 centuries ago. But he's the great. He wrote a book called The 400 Verses.
Is that where this is from?
Yeah. He wrote a book called 400 Verses on emptiness, and it's an incredible one. He's recognized as the second great lama, the second great scholar of the Majjhimika lineage. The first is Nagarjuna.
400 verses or 400 verses on emptiness?
Something like that. Call him master. And he, in this line and a half, which is chopped out of a verse, he defines the qualities of a good student. We already had three qualities that you shouldn't have, right? Remember? What are they?
Three pot
problems.
Don't smoke it, don't roll it, and don't grow it.
That's the negative, okay? That's how I'm not to listen to Dharma. These are the qualities of a good student. So we've had the qualities of a good teacher, we've had the qualities of a good teaching, and now we have the qualities of a good student. Surne. Sur comes from a word meaning corner. That's a sur. There's another sur. Ne means to stay in the corner. But what it means is, to keep a neutral position. You're not holding, you're not biased. You don't have preconceptions. You're staying open-minded. You're open to, you're open-minded. You're not, you don't have a preconception about what Buddhism should be when you come into Buddhism class. You're not, I mean, I get that sometimes. I come into it, I start to teach a class, the guy says, no, no, that's not, I mean, he's this, you know, and I, okay, well, then why'd you come? You know? Okay, sunne means you're, what's the word?
You're not painted yourself, as, you've not painted yourself into a corner.
Yeah, okay. In the monastery, for example, sunne means there'll be a dispute in the monastery, and they'll pick a few monks who are always known to be sunne.
Impartial,
that's good.
So, sir means corner, name means?
To stay.
To stay.
Impartial.
Oh, okay.
You don't come into the teaching with a lot of ideas that you've carried baggage, and you're going to interpret it your way. Okay?
But not your own teacher.
Something like that. Impartial, open-minded, ready to listen to it. Okay? Longden. Longden means intelligent. Yeah. It is a fact. To liberate yourself, you have to be able to think well. You have to be one of those 1% of humanity who can think clearly and on a difficult question and come to a conclusion and live your life based on an intellectual conclusion that you've made. Very difficult.
To be able to put up with the other 99.
He became Longden. I mean, he became a genius.
But it appeared like something.
No, not. If you read the whole story, it's toward the end of the great
debate.
I mean, basically, you're going to have an intellectual understanding of emptiness. That's going to have to prove to you why morality is correct to do. And then despite your own instincts and despite the culture you grew up in and despite everything around you, you're going to have to be moral out of knowledge. And that takes an intelligent person. That takes you bucking the whole trend of your culture. You're being moral. You are not ever going to lie because you know absolutely what causes suffering. Because things are empty. That whole thing is going to rule your life. And that's an intellectual understanding. At first, it's coming right out of your intellect, right out of your brain. You have no instincts to do that. Your understanding of philosophy is going to have to rule your instincts, and then you can become liberated. So it's hard. Longden. Dunyerwa. Dunyerwa means you aspire towards high things. You want high things. Dunyawa means aspire or have higher goals, like that.
It's not just aspiring, it's excelling in your aspirations.
Aspiring towards some high spiritual goal. You do not, you're not satisfied with the house, the car, you've got your, and you're willing to put out the effort. It implies that also. It's going to be some pain, it's going to take some late nights. Particularly when you practice, when you're trying to develop a new attitude, like renunciation, as we were talking about upstairs, there's a lot of rough moments. You know, there's times when you're not quite ready yet, and you're trying to do it, and you have delicious failures. You know what I mean? You think you're doing pretty good, and then you really screw up, and you get big disappointments, and you get big setbacks. It takes 10 years sometimes to change one of your attitudes. And it's very hard, and you need Dunyerwa. You got to put out the effort. You got to have the guts to keep going. Nyambo means to hear the Dharma.
To hear the Dharma's implied, or Nyambo means to hear Dharma?
No, it's just hearing, which always means to hear the Dharma in Buddhism. Shruti in Sanskrit. And Na means proper vessel. A proper vessel. This person is worthy to study Dharma. He's impartial, he comes in with an open mind. He's intelligent enough to understand what's being said and to let his intelligence, let his intellect, let his understanding rule his behavior. And then he has Dunyawa. He can keep going even when it gets rough. He has that aspiration to some high goal, and he's not going to get discouraged. He'll get discouraged, but he's not going to give up. He'll keep going. And that's Dunyawa. Those are three qualities that a student needs.
Can you put that in one sentence? No.
It's in the book.
It's in the book.
That's the sentence. It's in the book.
So,
it's a book.
By the way, the verb is understood. That's so often in Sanskrit and Tibetan. A proper vessel for study is a person who is impartial, intelligent, and who strives.
So is that saying a proper vessel to hear the Dharma?
Yeah. You're on to homework 4. Yeah, see, you're a third of the way through. Pass this around. Pedron, you get a first class. Ready to do more? 1, 2. Oh, Kyle. By the way, the homework at the bottom says, memorize the title of the book and the first line. That's this page right here, the one with the skinny verses on it. The first Tibetan page in your notebook. The first fully Tibetan page in your notebook.
So you're supposed to memorize that page in Tibetan?
No. This line and this line. And I'm going to give you the...
Transliteration.
Yeah, now see if you can memorize the sounds here. Yeah.
Not the character.
No, not the character. You guys are exempt from the character. If it really overloads you, you can memorize the English, okay? If you feel yourself getting stressed out and you're going to quit or something, don't, okay? Memorize the English. I don't mind. It's in the book.
Top one's the title.
When I get done with the title, I'll stop. In fact, I'm going to shorten it for you. That's the title. We'll go over the meaning next week. And this is a typical way for Tibetan students to learn. You memorize the line first, and then you're very, very ripe to hear it explained. Next week.
You got the things in the
English.
It's just there. If
you're gonna do the English, it's just the three principal paths by Chetoka. So we're gonna do that next week. And then the bold part on page 38. Right in the middle of the page. One short line.
I bow.
I bow down to all the five poles.
The gold part on page 38 is the which is the first line, which is the first sentence.
That is the opening line of this work that Tokapa has written, it's called the Three Principal Paths. Very, very important line.
Michael, Arya Deva's 400 verses is where the three requirements of good student are found. The previous three about the teachings, where did they come from?
It's in chapter 12 of this commentary, and I'm not sure where it's from.
Which of this commentary?
Yeah.
That's just out of this commentary.
It's from I'll say the pronunciation just for simple. It's Jetsun, Shuti, Gyalpo, Tsongkhapa, Chenpu, Depe, Lam, Dinso, Namsun. And next line is Jetsun, Nama, Namla, Chaktero.
You don't read anything from this?
The syllabus tells you what to read. I think it's up to 56.
It's 59 to 90.
Are we on the week three renunciation?
Oh, wasn't that this?
I had 40 to 56.
Oh, I read that.
This is the period.
Week three.
We're in week two.
Tonight was the second half of week two. Thursday is the first class of this period.
Yeah, you only have
so
to.
One third of the way. Precisely one.
Page 56.
So you only have to read up to page 56.
Okay.
For next class. Okay. Tell him to. He's still got two to go. Good night. Sorry to keep you so late. I don't know how I can make it stronger.
I'd like to say, for my part, I'm willing to put in extra time, you know, to get the thorough information. So.
Yeah.
I don't know how everybody else feels.
Well, actually, I'm going to go as long as I like anyway.
I'd envision it for a long time.
Yeah. That's one thing that can make it stop on time. I'll try to control it. In the monastery, the lama says, yeah, shut up.
Can you use a different hole punch, like maybe the one that the class was?
If you need your hole punch, then
Class 4.